you guys know what May 12th is? Sunday, May 12th?
Mama's Day.
That would be correct. It's Mother's Day. So let me ask you, do you basically get your mom the same gift every year for Mother's Day? Maybe some flowers, some chocolates, maybe a robe or a framed photo, boring stuff, right?
Right.
Well, let me tell you about something that's totally cool and different for Mother's Day that will never wilt, spoil, or put an extra 10 pounds around her waist. I'm talking about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty unique. Cool, right?
Right.
Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. Your mom can either type a response to the email, or she can record her voice if she prefers to do that, or she can do both. And MyLifeInABook.com then compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book, as well as an audiobook. And if you want, and she's up to the task technically, you know, the audiobook is a great extra thing to be able to do. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy, something you and your future generations can treasure. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is kind of your chance to give her a way to share them. Every family's a little bit different, and in my family, we love to give each other a really hard time. So I've taken the approach in doing this of asking my mom to comment on some of those family moments that might be a bit embarrassing to other family members. Last week, my question was, Mom, did you feel guilty that day you hit me over the head with your wooden clog and Dad had to take me to the hospital for 8 stitches? Mom's response, back in the day, I was the disciplinarian of the house. And when you were 8 years old, you refused to get out of Nancy's, that's my sister's, plastic kiddie pool. I told you 10 times to get out of the damn pool. You didn't listen, so I chased you around the yard. And when you slipped, I nailed you right on the head. That was the last time you got in that kiddie pool. Of course, Dad had to lie to the ER and tell him that you fell on your head, but I nailed you good. The entire process with My Life in a Book is simple, and in the end, Mom will have a great keepsake that can remain in your family for generations.
Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code RLRC at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com and use code RLRC for 10% off today.
Save big on brunch for Mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
In Louisiana, a stray bullet that hits a jogger is traced back to a man doing target practice in his residential neighborhood. In Texas, a man is arrested after his wife's body is found in his closet. And the Arizona rancher's murder trial comes to an end. These stories and more coming at you today, Wednesday, April 24th. On Real Life Real Crime Daily, and I'm Jim Chapman. And
I'm Woody Overton.
And I'm Mike Agavino. Hello, fellas.
What's up?
Jim, did you miss the in your teaser the new Taylor Swift album releasing over the weekend?
Possible.
That story wasn't in there?
Might have been intentional.
Okay. Well, in case you want 31 new Taylor Swift songs with over 2 hours.
There's a lot of people that do, apparently.
With her bullying a lot of new people, you can buy it. Sorry.
I can't name one Taylor Swift song.
Neither can I.
Yeah.
I can name one, maybe.
Yeah.
There's one song I actually kind of like that she does. I can't think of the name of it right now. So I can't name it, but I can hum it.
There you go.
Well, she apparently, I don't know, Love May Be on the Rocks there because she... One line of one of her songs says in regards to Travis Kelce, it says, "You play ball and I read Aristotle."
Okay.
I think she's calling him dumb. She's calling her man dumb. You go play ball while I read Aristotle. I don't know. We'll see. I think on that line, I'm going to predict that there's a little breakup before the next Super Bowl, but we'll see. Anyway.
I've given odds on that.
A very short entertainment report, much less than 15 minutes.
Yes.
Haters.
Yeah, we know that doesn't work. So let's get down to some true crime time for Wednesday.
All right, and we're going to start off in Louisiana. And jogging through a Louisiana neighborhood, nearly got a teenager killed when he crossed paths with a man target shooting in his yard. Probably not a good idea. It happened Saturday, April 20th in Luling, which is about a 25-mile drive west of New Orleans. The 50-year-old suspect was in his backyard firing a .22-caliber rifle at a target set up on the levee. The man was unaware the 17-year-old male was jogging on that levee, and upon firing his weapon, he unintentionally struck that 17-year-old. When he realized that he had shot the 17-year-old male, he immediately rendered aid to help him until medical services arrived, and the 17-year-old was airlifted to the hospital where he remains in stable condition. The identity of that teen has not been released. The suspect was arrested and charged with neglect, injuring, and the parish ordinance relative to discharging a firearm a residential area.
Yeah, it's that law is you're not supposed to fire a firearm within 500 feet of residence, residence.
Well, he must have been within that 500 feet, obviously, and he was released on a $5,000 bond. The levee where the victim was jogging on is lined with single-family homes.
Yeah.
So the street is actually bordered by Bayou Lafourche on the north and a series of canals on the south.
Yeah, well, it all boils down to, you got to know what you're shooting at, what's behind your target.
Yeah.
He's lucky he didn't kill that kid because he would have got a negligent homicide charge for sure.
What? It's like you look at a, that seems common sense to me.
I know he didn't mean to do it.
No.
But being dumb.
Yeah, that was just stupid.
It does not sound like a place for target practice.
No.
I wonder if he'd done it a bunch before.
I'm sure.
Probably did.
Right? Sure. I used to get a lot of complaints when this parish was growing. You know, people that moved to the parish from New Orleans or whatever, especially after Katrina, would get so mad that, people, and I'm talking about in the country, not these neighborhoods, that their neighbors were shooting firearms. Oh, they're shooting weapons. I'm like, yeah, motherfucker, you live in the country.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm talking about country.
Right.
Houses within 500 feet and shit.
Sure.
So.
How far would a .22 travel if it didn't hit anything before?
You can go a mile.
Yeah. It rises.
Seriously?
It'll lower 3 feet a second as it travels.
And actually a lot of them rise up and they plane off and then drop back down. But if you just hold it up in the air and shoot it, you go a mile. The bullet's got to come down somewhere, people.
Yep.
So, good the kid's alive. Hope that dude had a shit ton of homeowner's insurance.
What a freaky thing. Must have been. If that guy had been out there and done it fairly often, he must never have seen joggers there. That must not have been a common thing. Otherwise, he would have moved somewhere else.
Evidently, he didn't see this jogger either.
Right. And I was making up the 3 feet a second, by the way. Yeah. I had no idea. But it does drop at a certain rate.
Yeah.
Okay, I was going to say, because if you started firing from 3 feet high, then in 1 second the bullet would hit the ground. Yeah,
a .22 caliber has killed more people than all the rest of the calibers in the world put together.
Yeah, because it won't. It just bounces around if it gets inside your body.
I think a lot of that
is
Saturday Night Specials with .22s,
the
pistols and stuff like that over the years, and it's cheap. So
yeah, very true.
Well, hopefully that kid will be okay. I don't know if they're expecting a full recovery or how bad.
Says he's stable, so that's a good sign.
Yep.
Okay, well, let's go to a fascinating trial that has actually just wrapped up yesterday, and really curious to get everybody's take on this. But this is something that happened right at the border on the U.S. side in Arizona. So Nogales, Arizona, Nogales, Mexico, is the border town where a rancher by the name of George Kelly has owned a family ranch for years and years. And, well, let me just lay this out for you. So a jury in a controversial trial in Arizona had been at an impasse following hours of deliberations. The judge in the case had ordered them to continue deliberating to try and reach a verdict. They deliberated part of Thursday. They deliberated all of Friday. They continued deliberations after the judge pushed them back in the room to deliberate more. And finally, late yesterday, which we're recording on Tuesday, late Monday, the judge came out and declared a mistrial. And I want to tell you about this case that ends, at least for now, in a mistrial, and would get some feedback on exactly what that means for futures here. But the case involves a 75-year-old Arizona rancher named George Kelly and a 48-year-old Mexican national who was killed named Gabriel Butte Mella. The state of Arizona charged Kelly with second-degree murder and ag assault in the shooting death of Butte Mella, who was shot while walking on Kelly's ranch back at the end of January 2023. So on the day in question, Kelly called Border Patrol saying he heard a gunshot and saw several men crossing his land carrying guns and backpacks that he assumed were full of drugs. Kelly's ranch sits basically on the border near Nogales. Border Patrol came to the property. They searched, but they didn't find anything. The defense said it wasn't until hours later when Kelly went to check on his horse and dogs that he discovered a body about 100 yards away from his house. Kelly called the Border Patrol again, and they returned to his property. And when they returned, obviously, they found the body. It wasn't until several hours later when he was being questioned that Kelly admitted to deputies that he had fired several, quote, warning shots towards the men, saying he aimed, quote, well over their heads. So his story was that he was trying to scare them off the property and shot over their heads. Eventually, Kelly was handcuffed, placed in a patrol car, and taken to the sheriff's department. He was Mirandized and provided a statement. He was released on $1 million bond back on February 23rd of 23. Kelly owns an AK-47 rifle, which is the rifle he used to fire the, quote, warning shots. You're probably thinking, couldn't they just compare the bullet from the victim back with Kelly's AK-47, right? That would be the logical thing to do. Yes, they could if they had removed a bullet from Bootmea's body. But unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on where you come down on this, the bullet that struck him had enough power to go into the man's back, out the front of his chest, and keep going so it was never recovered. Wouldn't an AK fire such a bullet?
7.62 millimeter.
Yep.
We'd do everything we just heard, right?
Yep.
Anyway, Kelly maintained that he didn't shoot at anybody or hit anybody when he fired the shots from his rifle. Prosecutors accused Kelly of ambushing Butte Mella, who was unarmed and headed away from Kelly's residence with a group of migrants. The county attorney's office has also accused Kelly of prejudicial malice, pointing to text messages that they say demonstrated his propensity for violence toward the victim's race, ethnicity, national origin, and/or immigration status. I think from everything I've read, primarily immigration status was his big thing. And at his arraignment back on March 6th, his defense attorney, Brenna Larkin, said that Kelly was, quote, protecting himself, his wife Wanda, and his home by firing shots into the air above the migrants. Larkin claimed that Kelly's arrest was illegal and argued to suppress any statements that he had made and any evidence that was gathered from that interrogation. His wife, Wanda, gave two different depositions, one back last July and the most recent one on February 15th of this year, during which she told investigators about other instances when armed individuals traveled onto their property, which led her husband to start carrying the AK-47 while patrolling the property. So this had been an ongoing thing with migrants crossing the ranch. Throughout the trial, investigators testified that Kelly's story kept changing. They say that it was late in the day of the shooting and a half hour into questioning by a detective before Kelly admitted firing his assault rifle. The defense tried to convince jurors someone else shot and killed Boutmeia. The fact that a key piece of evidence, namely the bullet, is missing helped. Defense attorney Larkin suggested that the dead man was likely involved in smuggling and that the bandits shot him to steal drugs, money, or guns. Boutmeia was found shot to death more than 100 yards from the Kelly house. Kelly's attorneys questioned the sheriff's deputies about why they did not find the body after the first visit to the ranch. The deputy Cristobal Castaneda was involved in the first search. Kelly's attorney, Brina Larkin, raised doubts about whether someone other than Kelly shot the man after Kelly called law enforcement to his ranch the first time and before Kelly allegedly found the body. Assistant Pima County M.E., Dr. Krista Tim, did an autopsy on Boutmeia. She described how the bullet hit bones, went through a lung, and punctured the main artery to the victim's heart. Under questioning by Kelly's attorney, the ME conceded that she could not rule out that Boutmeia could have been shot by a powerful handgun instead of George Kelly's rifle. Kelly's defense attorneys decided not to put him on the stand during the trial. So we now know that this was declared a mistrial by the judge on Monday. What options does the state have?
What was the reason for the mistrial?
The jury was hung. The jury could not come to a conclusion.
They can, it's the prosecutor's choice to prosecute him again or not. That's it. That or drop the charges. Or you don't even really have to drop them. They can just let him out in case more evidence ever comes forward. But, you know, it sounds like they're fucked because the prosecution, I mean, probable cause, yeah, because he made the statement that he fired over the head. How in the hell can you prove it's his bullet that killed him? Can't. And the worst case you can get him is for whatever with a firearm, but not for injuring him. Like the case I was telling you about last week with the mass shooting on Bourbon Street, and I was able to prove that my client didn't start it. The other guy pulled a gun and he pulled his and the bullets and, you know, somebody died, unfortunately, but the bullets were never matched and everything else. I mean, you can't prove it beyond a reasonable doubt. You can't say whose bullet it was.
Now,
if I was on the jury, I'd be like, fuck you. He's not guilty. You didn't prove it.
Now, I don't know Arizona law, but in Louisiana, if someone's trespassing through your land like that, what rights do you have?
Better call 911 unless they got a gun and they're shooting at you or they're within your 21-foot, you know, personal space or whatever, and you feel threatened and you can prove that you feel threatened.
Okay, so the case would be essentially the same if it had occurred in Louisiana, right?
Yeah.
And I think this is just another example of how critical jury structure is to deciding these cases. You have people in that area that are sympathetic with the plight of ranchers who have illegal immigrants walking across their land, doing cartels operating through their land, et cetera, and people who are sympathetic to those coming into the country. And I think we probably had a jury in this case that was comprised of some combination of people sympathetic to the migrant and people sympathetic to the rancher. And that's why they locked horns and couldn't come up with something.
Again, one day I'm going to get you to go sit through an actual voir dire on a high profile case. And you'll understand the process is the best that it can be on eliminating those kind of angles. The problem, again, with this case is not the jury. It's
evidence.
It's the evidence that the prosecution did not present. Look, for me, if the cops had been out there already and searched the property and shit and didn't find anything, and now you miss a dead body, what the fuck? I mean, that dude had made statements, he'd be in the dead clear. I mean, he's in the clear anyway for murder, but he'd been in the clear for anything. So
I wonder if that body was maybe not found because it wasn't in a place that it could be found the first time versus the second time. I don't know.
We'll never know.
And they looked at the weapon and found that he had fired 9. shots from that weapon.
That's okay. Then they can't tell how many shots he fired just because the right. magazine's minus that many bullets. He could have been shooting at Javelina Hogs, you know, 3 days before.
Yeah.
You can't tell how recent that weapon's been fired. I mean, if the barrel was still hot and smoking, that'd be a different story, but this is not in this case.
Wide open ranch, you know, dust, some cactus-looking plants, all that sort of stuff. If you know where Umea was and how he was struck, shouldn't you be able to create a pretty tight diameter where that bullet likely
should, but ended? Evidently they didn't do it beyond a reasonable doubt. And there you have it.
There you have it. It's springtime, boys. The grass is green, the birds are chirping, and the kids will be out of school soon. That makes it the perfect time to plan a family vacation. And we know from the stories we cover that this is not exactly the time to take the family to the Caribbean. You don't want to end up in the middle of some cartel drug shootout. So this year, it's time to take an international journey. And of course, a big international trip is just one reason to learn a new language with Rosetta Stone. You might have a different one. Maybe you want to connect with family or friends living overseas. Maybe you want to acquire a new skill for work or better understand a certain culture. Rosetta Stone has helped me have fun with my mother and at least have partial conversations in Italian after only a few lessons.
Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, and many more. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways. No English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. Intuitive process, you pick up a language naturally. Designed for long-term retention. Speech recognition, the true accent feature is like having a personal trainer for your accent. Rosetta Stone is convenient and an amazing value.
That's right, Woody. A lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Real Life Real Crime and Daily Show listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Sayonara.
Shout out to AstroPro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
My allergies are throwing my whole morning off. Do I sound different to you?
I love it. You sound like, it's that time of year there, bro.
I sound different to me. I feel like I'm in a submarine.
Yeah, well, have you tried AstroPro? It's faster, bro. Oh. Right? AstroPro is the first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It is the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes while other allergy sprays take hours. AstroPro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. AstroPro delivers full prescription strength, indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. Hey, I use this. And you should too, Jim. Last weekend, I planted my garden, and it's that time of the year, and my allergies really kicked up with it, right? I use AstroPro every time my nasal allergies flare up, and I'm always amazed at how fast I'm back in the game, down on those rows, planting my stuff.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with AstroPro. Go to AstroProAllergy.com for a discount so you can AstroPro and go today. AstroProAllergy.com. It's faster, bro. Uses directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
AstroPro and go.
Mistrial.
All right, we're going to go to Florida, and we brought you a story just a few weeks ago where a woman was carjacked in Florida after calling her significant other and informing him she suspected she was being followed. Mm-hmm. She was later found dead in a burned-out car. Well, at that time, it seemed a little bit strange, to say the least, and police are now putting it all together. bricks of cocaine tucked away in a lamp fixture are the latest twist in that investigation into the carjacking and murder of a woman in Central Florida. The revelation in the bizarre case emerged after Homeland Security investigators found a suspicious package being mailed from Puerto Rico. A canine alerted them of that package where 3.28 kilos of cocaine were sealed in a lamp with caulk and nails. A police officer dropped off the package at a St. Cloud address in Central Florida near Kissimmee. Is it Kissimmee?
Kissimmee, yep.
Yes, I said it right. I was waiting for somebody to pronounce it correctly for me. As agents staked out the area, Romero Soto was spotted repeatedly driving around the home in a white Acura SUV, presumably to ensure no law enforcement were present. At one point, Romero Soto got out of the SUV, and walked over to the package. The 27-year-old told agents she came to pick up her lamp that she ordered on Facebook for $300 and 27 cents.
Nice.
Expensive.
How you like her throwing them cents in there? Romero Soto is now facing federal charges and one of several people arrested in connection to the murder of 31-year-old Catherine Guerrero, who was carjacked at 6 p.m. On April 11th after traveling from Homestead to Central Florida. The others arrested include Jordanish Garcia, a 28-year-old investigator considered a person of interest. Garcia owns the green 2002 Acura that they have connected to her killing and to the murder of a tow truck driver in Orange County the day before. He was arrested on existing federal weapons possession charges. Francisco Chicon, an Orange County deputy accused of illegally accessing personal and professional profile information belonging to the lead county detective on the case and sharing that information with Guerrero's husband, Miguel Angel. Estrella Chicon's wife is a childhood friend of Guerrero's. Investigators are still searching for a 27-year-old named Giovanni Hernandez, Romero Soto's live-in boyfriend. He appears to be one of the last people Guerrero spoke to on the phone as she was driving on I-4 through the downtown Orlando area. Crespo Hernandez is a known member of a drug trafficking organization and a person of interest in a series of home invasions and homicide investigations. He was the target of a Homeland Security probe in Miami in 2020 that actually led agents to seize more than $300,000. When deputies searched the couple's Castleberry home in Central Florida, they located fentanyl, more than $13,000 in cash, two Glocks, multiple cell phones and expensive jewelry. A Toyota in the driveway actually had a trap space within the car, which is a ploy used by traffickers to hide drugs. So it appears at this point that the entire incident was related to some pretty heavy drug driving. I
figured there was something more to it when you reported it last week. Typical, right?
Yeah.
No honor among thieves.
No honor among... And these are some bad characters here. Mm. I mean, this is not your... Just your guy slinging dope on the street corner. These are some serious traffickers they're taking down.
I didn't really understand the cop connection there. So who was the Chicago?
So he was a police officer whose wife was actually friends with Guerrero. They grew up together is what it sounds like. And he was getting information to another one of these drug kingpins on the investigator of the case, basically sending him his profile, meaning his address, his phone number, all this information, because I'm sure he was going to be the next one that was whacked, so to speak.
Providing an information for a dollar.
Yeah.
Crazy. Wow. Yeah.
Unreal.
Okay, guys, I had pretty much given up on Saturday Night Live over the last, I don't know, 5 years. Maybe it's longer than that since I watched it. Well, it was the best, right? Think of all the comedians of our lifetime who walked through those doors from the, Eddie Murphys to the Dan Aykroyds and Belushis and all of that to
Chevy Chase
to where it is or where it has been. But they've gotten a little bit more aggressive lately at poking fun at some things that were maybe considered taboo or would have been considered taboo not that long ago. And so they had a bit in last Saturday's show that that struck me, and it's crime related, and I really wanted to share it with you guys. So let me set this up. It's one of these fake ads that they do, and it's gotten a lot of attention on Twitter, on TikTok, et cetera. It's a satirical ad showing a father's sort of farewell to his daughter as he drops her off to go to college. So here's what the first part of the ad sounded like.
Well, this is it. You need any help with your bag?
No, that's all right. I got it.
How about some walking around money?
Dad, it's okay.
Okay, just make sure to...
Call you when I get there? I know.
Yeah. You know, you could stay home, do another year of high school if you want.
Very funny, Dad.
Well, I'll see you at Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I'll see you. Hey, Dad.
Yeah.
Thanks.
You got it, kiddo.
So if this wasn't on SNL, we would presume some insurance company or airline or mobile provider was the sponsor and the heartwarming ending was about to unfold for us. But here's how the satirical ad actually ends.
Looks like your ride's here. You be careful, okay?
Dad, it's just ISIS.
Take care of her.
Take it from here, Dad.
Okay, so audio doesn't quite do this justice, as you don't get to see the pickup truck pull up with the terrorist hanging out the passenger window holding an AK-47 or the two other terrorists in the back with the rocket launcher and another AK, but you get the gist. The studio audience is laughing, and I applaud SNL for taking risks again and being willing to use humor to illustrate the insanity going on at American universities. Protests at Ivy League schools on Monday are reminders that the SNL skit isn't too far afield from reality. Columbia University announced Monday that all classes will be held virtually and urged students who don't live on campus to stay home following protests about the Israel-Hamas war. The announcement comes after days of protests at the school, which have raised concerns for the safety of their Jewish students. Both Yale and Harvard also had arrests and protests over the weekend. And I think as we go through this week, and now the Congress has voted to provide more aid to Israel, we're going to see even more of this stuff. But, you know, it was always great when Saturday Night Live would inject themselves into stuff going on in the culture, and I'm glad they did this time. And we'll post the video so you can see.
They arrested 133 protesters last night at NYU.
Yep. I mean, we're going to be reading those kind of things all week long. I don't know, I don't know when it stops. But you do now have votes completed, and Congress has passed to continue funding Ukraine, to continue funding Israel, to fund Taiwan aid, and so a bunch of money going to those countries to help them defend themselves.
Yeah. All right, well, we're going to go to Texas, and a Texas man was charged with murder after a woman he was in a relationship with was found dead. wrapped in bedding and stuffed in a closet. 34-year-old Omar Lucio was arrested and charged with the murder of 27-year-old Karina Johnson. Leading up to the arrest, the Garland Police Department advised the Dallas Police Department that it received a 911 call from a woman who said another woman had been beaten to death and was inside an apartment. When officers arrived at the apartment, Lucia was inside and refused to exit for about an hour. He finally complied and was placed under arrest. The responding officers then entered the apartment and followed a trail of blood that went from the front door to the bathroom and then into a bedroom closet. Inside that closet, police found Johnson's body wrapped in Lucio's bedding. A further investigation led police to Lucio's vehicle in a parking lot where bloody clothes were located inside. The woman who reported the body told investigators she went to Lucio's apartment after he called asking her for help. Lucio told the woman he and Johnson were drinking when they got kicked out of a bar because of Johnson. Lucio said he then knocked some sense into Johnson, making her unresponsive. The caller told investigators she witnessed Johnson's body on the floor of the bathroom with a bruised and bloody face. She also told police the woman appeared to be dead. It was not until the next day that the woman called and reported that body to police. Investigators spoke with Lucio, and he admitted that he snapped and beat Johnson with his bare hands while they were inside of that car. Detectives noted that Lucio's hands appeared injured, and he had blood under his fingernails and on his left shoe. Police also noted that Lucio did not tell investigators how Johnson ended up in the closet wrapped in his bedding. Johnson's family had been urging the mother of a 7-year-old to leave Lucio. Johnson and Lucio were together for 6 years. Lucio remains in custody at the Dallas County Jail on charges of murder, as well as a street racing charge and being involved in a collision causing bodily injury.
Bitter to death.
Yeah. Real man.
It's like
sick.
Sam Little, the original episode I'm doing, concluding this week.
Oh, that's another one. Over God.
90 of them and beat them to evil. Death.
90?
90. And over 90.
Evil.
30-something years. And he beat them and strangled them.
Yeah.
All over the United States. Every small fucking town you can imagine. From Florida to Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
Including a bunch in Louisiana.
Yep.
What was his name? What is it?
Sam Little. Has to be the biggest serial killer ever. Anyway, that's but beating beat to death. That sucks. I almost think I'd rather get shot and have it over with.
For sure.
And then just have somebody wailing on you.
Yeah.
And he got away with that for
well, and decades. That's the thing. In this case, the family had been, you know, urging her to leave him. And I'm sure you've seen that in a lot of domestic.
Too many times. I used to tell him all the time. I said, one day I'm going to come back and you're going to be dead.
Yeah. It's always going to escalate.
Yeah, I mean, that's the highest emotions, right? And when someone that you love or you think you love or whatever, and you go into that bullshit.
That's right.
But
Let's go to Michigan, where a 26-year-old caregiver has been hit with a slew of charges after disturbing videos surfaced of her allegedly abusing an elderly dementia patient. A 26-year-old caregiver has been hit with a slew of charges after disturbing video of her allegedly abusing an elderly dementia patient was discovered by authorities. Flint resident Dantia Arrington, age 26, was charged with vulnerable adult abuse and torture with intent to cause cruel or extreme physical and mental pain. She was also charged with assault with intent to cause bodily harm in the stomach. They have some interesting definitions for these things. The charges were announced at a press conference held by the Genesee County Sheriff's Office. During the presser, Sheriff Chris Swanson said that that the videotape of the April 4th altercation stemmed from the patient having an accident. So she's in a elderly care facility. She has an accident, and he goes on. You're going to see that the victim had an accident. You're going to see the roughness of the caregiver to the victim. The video shows the suspect pummeling the victim repeatedly with their soiled diaper. So the caregiver took the soiled diaper from the elderly woman and began pummeling her with the diaper. The 93-year-old woman held her arms up in an attempt to protect herself, and the video shows her, you know, trying to fight back, but she's a 93-year-old woman. The caregiver was then filmed putting her right hand around the victim's neck in an attempt to choke her. A few minutes later, you're going to see the caregiver square off with the victim, the sheriff said, while he's narrating this video in this press conference. The caregiver makes punching gestures towards the victim, who tries to smack her in defense. Swanson described the video as being, quote, difficult to see because of the fragility and vulnerability of the victim. He says that the 93-year-old woman is suffering from late-stage dementia and struggles with cognitive issues on a daily basis. This stage of dementia, you cannot carry on a conversation with our victim, the sheriff explained. This is severe dementia. She has no idea what's going on. She can't process what we process on a regular basis. The victim's daughter, named Kathy, also spoke at the press conference. She said she began noticing her mother's hands were totally black with bruises and believes the abuse began back in December. She's 93. She's 5 feet tall. She's never been in a fight in her whole life. I'm horrified, just horrified. Kathy called her mother a great mom and said that she raised her and two sisters as a single mom. The authorities are actively investigating the incident. The sheriff's office say they believe that multiple people may have been involved, that they've got several workers within that facility that have committed similar acts. And they believe there are additional victims that they will come forward with. I have that video. It's difficult to watch, so we're not going to post it, but you could search it and find it if you want to see it. Why are you working in a place like that if you can't handle the responsibility of working in a place like that?
Nursing homes where they had cases of abuse, but now that I'm much older and I'm having to deal with these type of things myself, that I got no fucking response to that piece of shit.
Yep. Yeah, that's about as low as you can go.
No response.
No doubt about it. Looking for a new and healthier way to unwind? I was too, and then I tried Recess Mood. Recess Mood replaced that after-dinner alcoholic beverage for me, so I saw a difference in both my mood and my belly. It's made with real fruit, it is only 20 calories, and it contains no added sugar. Recess Mood is infused with functional ingredients like mood-lifting magnesium and stress-balancing adaptogens, so you can relax without the alcohol or the hangovers. Recess Mood tastes great, too, and comes in four different flavors. My favorite flavor is the strawberry rose. So whether you need a moment away from the errands, work, and kids, or you just need a moment of chill during dinnertime chaos, Recess Mood is where it's at whenever you need to relax and unwind. You deserve a healthier way to unwind. Head to takearecess.com/RLRC and get 15% off Recess Mood, your go-to alcohol replacement. Hey, y'all. My wife's biggest struggle this past year was fighting the symptoms associated with menopause: hot flashes, mild mood swings, and sleeplessness. She had them all until she tried Hormone Harmony. She was amazed at how much Hormone Harmony reduced her symptoms and supported her mood and her general well-being. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. So Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it, but it's perfect for those horrible menopause symptoms that put a woman's life on hold: hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas, no desire to be in bed next to someone, if you know what I mean. Yeah, Hormone Harmony can help with all of these things. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code RLRC at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code RLRC for 15% off today.
We need something kinky right about now.
Yes, we do. It's time for Kinky Crimes for Wednesday. Uber. Yeah. But you and I took an Uber when we were in Lafayette.
Take many Ubers.
No, we didn't.
Yeah, we took a Lyft. Over there. We took a Lyft.
Oh, yeah. Well, we took, rideshare service, right? We took one over there, and Roy brought us back. But an Uber driver was arrested yesterday.
What for?
For exchanging a ride in return for oral sex.
Oh.
From a woman.
That seems fair.
Who pleasures inside his vehicle. Kyle spotted driver Jason Lynch, 42, picking up a woman Wednesday in a St. Petersburg area known for prostitution activity.
You know what that means? Mm-hmm. Pinellas County.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Well, there you go. I don't know what the chances are we have so many Pinellas stories versus
anywhere. Pinellas is wild.
Yeah. After driving to a parking lot, Lynch was spotted by undercover officers receiving oral sex in his vehicle from Elizabeth Santos, who is 41 years of age. Lynch had his penis exposed in full view of the public. This is in the report. Mm. After Lynch was detained, he admitted exchanging a ride in his vehicle for oral sex. Lynch, cops noted, advised he was an Uber. And said he asked Santos how she intended to pace. Santos, he added, agreed to perform oral sex on him for the ride.
Well,
both driver and passenger were arrested for prostitution, leading lascivious behavior counts, blah, blah, blah. They took him to jail and all that bullshit. Obviously, it wasn't Santos's first prostitution conviction.
Probably not his first ride share trade.
Sure, right. You don't just start out one day and be like, oh, you need a ride?
I mean, how do you play it on that? That's wild.
I wonder how he structures those deals. Is it, if it's a 2 mile or less trip, a handy dandy will do. Yeah. If it's 5 miles or longer, it's got to be oral. I wonder how he did that. I don't think there's a rate card for that.
Yeah, he's...
Probably should have been a little bit more discreet about where that occurred.
Kinky crimes for Wednesday in Pinellas County.
I mean, it sounds like she was willing to do the trade, and he was.
Like a victimless crime there.
Yeah, very victimless.
So that's how she was married.
Well, we don't have a sound for this one, but we're going to do a
what the fuck?
One of those stories I read, and I said, "What the f?" That's right. A man is behind bars after striking his roommate in the head with a wad of pizza dough.
Oh, Jesus.
Can't make that up. Can't make that up.
Some of that dough is pretty heavy.
Investigators say Joseph Treslett, 32, was making pizza Monday evening when he got into a confrontation with Elvis Singleton.
Elvis.
Now, he was 62. So 30-year difference there, and that was in St. Petersburg, Florida, in a home they share.
Pinellas County. Again. Can't make it up.
Can't make it up. While preparing the Italian delicacy, Treslett told cops Singleton started making sounds like coughing in a way to irritate him. Huh. I kind of get that.
Right.
You know, when someone's really hacking. Treslett also reported hearing voices telling him how to make the pizza.
There you go. Mm. Tell him
I mean,
heard the voice.
Pizza voices. Yeah.
You're not putting enough ragu on there, dog. perturbed, Treslett threw a piece of dough on the floor and then threw it again at the victim, striking Singleton in the head as he was seated in the dining room table with his back to Treslett. Police reported that there were no visible bruises on Singleton as a result of the dough strike.
Fucking break.
Pizza dough. Treslet reportedly admitted to tossing the dough because Singleton was making those coughing sounds. He was arrested and locked up in lieu of a $1,150 bond. Treslet was also charged with criminal mischief for breaking a piece of furniture in Singleton's room. Now, a judge ordered Treslet to have no contact with Singleton and barred him from returning to the apartment. Now, that does seem kind of heavy, you know, of some stuff there for throwing some dough at that guy. But last year, he was busted for punching Singleton. Treslet said Singleton's coughing noise caused him to punch him in the face. Prosecutors declined to pursue the battery charge.
Right.
So there you have it. WTF.
That ain't nothing but a waste of really good dough.
You're right. He looks like someone that would, you know.
Yeah. I wish
throw pizza dough at somebody.
Pizza dough at me.
Yeah.
Throw a bullet back in him.
What the fuck?
Indeed.
Either that or he looks like somebody who would drive an Uber and accept oral sex compensation.
I'm thinking about giving all this up and driving an Uber.
There you go. Boy, that'd be fun.
I can advertise. I was
hey, we could video that, dog. Yeah. That would make for Uber some interesting video. Yeah. Uber, you remember the taxi cab?
I used to love that.
HBO, back in the day. Yep. Anyway, I digress.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to stay in Florida, but next to positive, this isn't Pinellas County, so they're not going to get the hat trick trifecta here. But our dummies are named Kira Enders, who's 36, and Dakota Jones, 32. They are from Dafuniak Springs, Florida. Never heard of Dafuniak
Springs. I've heard of that.
Okay. Could be Dafuniak, one of those two.
I think it's Dafuniak.
They were desperate to change their financial situation. So the two geniuses came up with a plan. They planned to win the lottery.
I plan to win the lottery too.
Yeah, can't wait to see how their plan unfolded. That's right. According to the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, Enders. That's Jacksonville, isn't it? Yeah. Escambia's down there.
I'm looking it up. Go ahead. I've been there before. I know this.
Yep, Walton County, Florida. Yep.
Shout out to my boys down there. One red snapper fishing with last summer.
Pink carousel.
Yeah.
The red snappers. Okay. So Enders attempted to return what she said was a winning scratch-off ticket from the Florida lottery game 500X the Cash. The winning ticket that Enders tried to submit to the Florida lottery was actually two tickets that had been taped together. Quote, they had an individual that thought that they could crudely take two tickets and put them together and pretend as if they were $1 million winner. That's nice. Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. Enders allegedly presented this ticket to a Florida lottery office in Pensacola on March 1st. Enders called the lottery office on March 7th to inquire about the status of her ticket and her $1 million.
There you go.
That's when she was connected to Special Agent Richard Pazanti. Pazanti asked her to please come down to the Florida Lottery Office on March 11th.
There you go.
So Enders and Jones drove to the lottery office as instructed on the 11th, and they were immediately detained and separated for investigation. Apparently, the two morons had never considered that they'd be questioned, so they told very different stories about how they came across this, quote, winning ticket, and that they had taped it together after it was ripped up. So their story was, well, no, it's only appears to be taped together because it got ripped apart and we had to put it back together. Enders allegedly asked Pazanti, the agent, quote, what? You mean they don't go together? And Jones told the investigator that, quote, we are honest people and we aren't into fraud. Well, Jones was arrested and booked into Escambia County Jail on the 16th of April, and Enders was booked 2 days later on the 18th. The Sheriff Simmons said, I don't think this is going to be a made-for-TV movie kind of situation because it was pretty clear to lottery officials and obviously clear to us that she had taken two different tickets and taped them together. One side had one serial number and the other side had a completely different serial number on it. You know, especially when you pretend like you've won $1 million, we are going to check to make sure the ticket is real. So Enders and Jones were released on bonds of $20,000 and $17,500 respectively, and they're due in court on May 10th, where I would expect that the judge would be playing the banjo when
banjos.
You walk in, you big almost dummies taping lottery tickets together.
That's pretty fucking shit.
What made him think they could get away with that? We don't know.
No,
make all types.
All types.
I thought when they had a strategy for winning the lottery, they had come up with some technical
plan.
Tape isn't going to get it done.
Y'all, last week we were supposed to open O'Hara's on 3rd Street.
Yep.
Where the motto is Welcome Home. And it got pushed back due to red tape issues, obviously, which is fine because it's opening this weekend. And
when's the party? Party's Friday?
Friday and Saturday night. I'm going to be down there. And my crew will be down there. Shiner on Tap is one of them. One of many, many on Cold Glycol Tap. Coldest beer in town. Best whiskey in town. And 132 to 136 3rd Street.
Ice mugs.
I'll be throwing it down.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So, anyway.
Well, if I want to have Tracy Lofton come down and give me a Myers cocktail right there inside the bar, am I allowed to do that?
Absolutely. I'm just going to talk to Brian Ott, the owner, my boy, also the owner of the Basin. That's where we did all the crew bashes. But you know what? I think I might need Tracy to come give me one on Saturday morning after Friday night.
I actually think that's a great strategy for her. Go into a bar, bring a bunch of stuff with you because there are going to be people. I mean, if I don't know what you would get if you were trying to, let's say you're starting to get pretty drunk, but you want to straighten up a little bit.
I don't know if they make anything like that. I did it in Vegas in the basement of the MGM. And I took like three of the bags.
Rehydrate.
Oh, yeah. IV I was still hurting. It just made me where I could barely breathe. And I went out and did it all again.
Yeah.
But anyway, O'Hara's, welcome home, people. I'm going to be down there Friday, Saturday night.
It's a party.
Shane's coming in from Wisconsin for it, too.
Is he?
Yep. And the head of the NYPD, Blue Lives Matter. I don't know if I'm supposed to let it out of the bag or not. Supposedly going to be running for mayor in New York City.
Well, you just let it out.
Yeah.
Well, I need to crash that party. What time does that party start?
The party starts when the doors open.
When do the doors open?
7 o'clock a.m.
No, it's going to be early, actually. On Saturdays, I think they open like at noon, but I'm not sure. I'll get back to y'all on that on tomorrow's show. And, you know, we're going to fucking throw down. Take pictures, hang out, drink beer, whatever y'all want to do. I'm probably going to go live.
I'm going to see if we can get Tracy over there for that.
Other than that, love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. Unless y'all got some useless ass. Do you have any final thoughts?
You have any final thoughts?
Love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. All that podcaster stuff, best fans in the world. Love you.
And if you can't make it to O'Hara's, you know how to get a hold of Tracy. It's at TLMLofton, LOFTON, @yahoo.com. Or you can get her at the Lagniappe Infusions Facebook page. And we'll see you at O'Hara's.
Yes.
All right. Until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
I'm Woody Overton.
And I'm Mike Agavino.
Your host of Real Life, Real Crime Daily. Peace.
Aglets.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.